From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie. Today was the 23rd of June, 2009. Although Satchmo personally detested bebop, Louis Armstrong was always on a very friendly basis with Dizzy Gillespie, who in turn never shied away from pointing out that Louis was the man to whom I owe my living. Had Armstrong not been there a generation earlier, Gillespie wouldn't have had the stage he so memorably bopped onto after World War II. In much the same manner, for the years that I toiled in the commercial broadcast vineyards, I owed my living to a handful of men and women who helped build the stage on which I was earning my daily bread. One of those men was Ed McMahon, who died this morning of pneumonia in a hospital in Los Angeles. He was 86 years old. McMahon was the last of the golden age of announcers, capital A announcers, that is. Not merely those who would say into a microphone who just sang that song you just heard, or what the weather's going to be like, or who won the baseball game this afternoon, but those who had such a rich personality that it couldn't help but shine through when they spoke that information. It's a curio of commercial broadcasting that largely dates back to 1926 and the use of a WGN Chicago sales representative named Bill Hay as the announcer for the daily serial program Sam and Henry. The stars and creators of the program, Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll, thought that Hay's Scots accent would add a distinctive touch to the show. It turned out to be so popular a touch that when Gosden and Correll quit WGN and took their characters over to WMAQ under a new name, Amos and Andy, they also demanded that WMAQ make sure Hay come with them, which was accomplished by simultaneously making Hay WMAQ's sales director. Hay would go with the show from syndication to the Blue Network of NBC in 1929, then the move of the show's production from Chicago to Hollywood in 1937, and then from NBC to CBS in 1939, finally retiring in 1942. Hay's voice, accent, and personality were so integral to the show that the serial version, which was very much superior to the Kingfish's Scam of the Week 1943-55 often offensive sitcom version that survives today, couldn't last a complete year after the retirement. Capital A announcers were a rare breed. Arthur Godfrey tried being one on Fred Allen's radio show in 1942, but was so poor a fit for that position that Allen brought back Jimmy Wallington after 6 weeks. Don Wilson was so great in the position on Jack Benny's program that he spent an incredible 31 years on radio and TV as not just Benny's plugger of Jell-O and Grape Nuts flakes, but also Jack's comic foil. Ed McMahon was the perfect capital A announcer. He indeed was the headliner on his own programs over the years, ranging from the TV games Missing Links, Snap Judgment, and Concentration, through 4 years as a host on NBC Radio's Monitor, to a dozen years as host of Star Search, and another two as co-host of TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes. He even tried his hand at movie acting, putting in a couple of good efforts in The Incident and Fun with Dick and Jane, but not always good. But none of that would have happened had he not provided the perfect support for Johnny Carson. In 1957, Carson needed a new announcer to replace Bill Nimmo on his ABC game show, Who Do You Trust? Someone suggested McMahon, who had been working in TV in Philadelphia, including fill-in work on Bandstand. Carson gave McMahon the gig, and whenever Carson was in a situation in which he needed fast support, like when the Jell-O pudding in a commercial didn't turn out right, McMahon was always quick on the uptake, creating the chemistry with Carson that the host needed to survive the screw-up. Like Gosden and Carell with Bill Hay, when Carson was asked by NBC to take over The Tonight Show after Jack Parr left that desk, Carson shrewdly demanded that McMahon make the trip with him. Parr's announcer, Hugh Downs, had already been promised the job with whoever replaced Parr, but with Carson's deal, NBC gave him hosting duties on Today instead. John Chancellor was looking to quit that show anyway. McMahon could also tell when not to get involved, when Carson didn't need the assistance, which was just as important a skill to possess. Mark Evanier reports at newsfromme.com that, outside of his duties for Carson, McMahon could occasionally be found clumsily trying, usually unsuccessfully, to prove he was something more than Johnny Stooge or the perfect pitchman for Budweiser. Thankfully, those experiences never stuck to McMahon's image. If you ever come across a copy of the Cameo Parkway LP and Me Am Ed McMahon in a thrift store or used record shop, take it from me. Don't bother listening to it. Instead, keep your memories of when Carson and McMahon made it easier for America to fall asleep a bit more comfortably, especially during some distinctly uncomfortable patches in this country's history. That's a much more important legacy than second billing in an old Jim Brown movie. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com, and please indicate where you're listening to this program from. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.